Now, if you have your Bible, I'd like to read in the Gospel of Luke tonight, chapter 15. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and we'll read verse number 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Just the final verse in the Gospel of Luke chapter 19. And I'm sure that many here tonight have learned this and can quote it by heart, but we will look at verse number 10. Luke's Gospel 19, verse 10, it says, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I trust that God will bless his reading tonight. I'm sure that these young girls here in the front are well able to understand what we have read. This is not complicated university type of literature. This, in fact, Luke 15, the early part of this chapter, in fact, the entire chapter, are some of the simplest of all the stories that the Lord Jesus Christ told. The Lord Jesus spoke to people so they could understand. And tonight, his desire is that you too might understand. I don't know if you caught it, but this simple story of the lost sheep and a shepherd looking for it is really described in two phrases. He's going after a sheep which is lost. And this little story unfolds and describes what happens when he discovers there is a sheep that is lost. There's activity. There's a longing search. There's possibly pain and all kinds of discomfort. Until he finally comes to where that sheep is found. And he lifts it tenderly to his shoulders. And he comes back. And now the phrase changes. Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. A sheep which is lost. Sheep which was lost. And tonight, those two phrases embrace every single individual in this audience, and in this city, and in this continent of ours and around the world. I'm looking at individuals here tonight, and there was a day when we discovered we were lost. When we needed a shepherd, we couldn't find our way home. And there was a moment when he found us. And when we change from being lost to being found, a day of salvation. There's a very wonderful truth that comes between these two realities. And the truth is simply this, that there is a person, a good shepherd, that comes between sheep that are lost and sheep that have been found that are no longer lost. I'd like to speak tonight of that shepherd, and of your great condition. Could I ask you tonight, what phrase describes you? I'm not asking you what church you belong to. I'm not asking you where you have been over all of these years, what your response to God is, or what you think of the Bible. But what phrase describes you? A sheep that is lost tonight? Or a sheep that was lost that has been found? There are times that we come in contact with people that tell us of God's dealings in their lives. And one of the accounts that thrilled me over the years, and I tell this everywhere I go because it's so outstanding in my mind. If you're to come to Newfoundland Island, if you went to the town of Bonavista, you'd be able to meet a woman by the name of June Sweetland. I never met you until the winter of 1984. But we had been in Bonavista. We had preached the gospel in the open air. And in the early part of 1984, that's what, 15 years ago now, we received a phone call concerning this individual by the name of June Sweetland, and she had expressed an interest in being saved. To make a very long story short, June had lived a very upright life. She was a churchgoer. She was a young mother with a young family, married, a good citizen in the town of Bonavista. And it had come to the New Year's party, the time when they were going to celebrate the incoming year. And so she had bought tickets for the New Year's ball at the local lodge building, and she and her husband Doug had gone off to this building. Now, this woman had never been in a gospel hall. She never heard the gospel. But she went to that party that night and, of course, did whatever they did, danced and drank and everything else, until finally there was a little lull in the activity, and she just went off on the sidelines of that smoke-filled room, and she just started to watch people swirling on the dance floor, having a great time. And as she stood there, her face became pale, as suddenly a thought came into, not just into her mind, but it seemed to come into her very soul. And to use her own words, she said this to herself, "We are all going to hell." She'd never been in the gospel hall. She'd never heard the gospel clearly preached. Who put that there? We're all going to hell. And suddenly a life stopped. Suddenly she began to understand what she had never faced before. That something was wrong. Something was wrong with her life. Something was wrong with her course. Something was wrong with her future. And it stopped her, and her husband came over and said, "June, what's wrong? Are you sick?" She said, "No, I'm all right." "No," he says, "you're sick. Let me get you a soda." And he brought her a 7-Up. But she left that New Year's party. Something had happened there. It wasn't a gospel meeting. It was a New Year's party. But she discovered that she was lost. I wonder tonight if you have ever made that discovery. Because you see, it takes all of chapter 15, and I would encourage you to read this chapter. Because this is a chapter of lost things. It takes the entire chapter to make us aware what it means to be lost. And I'm well aware that what I'm saying tonight might sound like a foreign language to some people. Because they don't feel that they're lost. And they don't think that they're lost. And they're doing just fine, thank you very much, and I don't need what you're saying. But God's Word describes this tremendous reality that men and women are lost to God, and lost in their sins, and lost with regard to eternity. And you need to be found. We understand the first story is of this little sheep. And we can identify with this story because the Word of God and the Lord Jesus speaks about individuals as being sheep. Isaiah 53 tells us all we, like sheep, have gone astray. And you can just picture this little animal in innocence, unaware of the danger, unaware of the destiny, just beginning to wander away. You could call it a gradual drift. Oh, he's not intending to leave the flock. He's not intending to put his back to the shepherd. He's just going after some better grass. In this world are just like a little sheep that begins to move out on its own, unaware of the tremendous danger that they find themselves in. Tonight, I trust that this gospel meeting will open up your understanding to your danger. I wish they would grip the preacher to understand that we are speaking to individuals and you are in imminent danger of losing your souls. I had an email just before the meeting from my wife. There was a relative of one of the Christians in St. John's who was absolutely opposed to the gospel. In fact, when anybody even gave thanks for the food, for just a little meal, he would get up and protest. An absolute atheist. He got a job in Alberta just a couple of months ago and left his family in St. John's and went out to Alberta to teach. Just a young man. Didn't realize the silent killer was stalking his tracks. Cholesterol was building. And as a man started a day, came to a moment when it was all over. And he went out to meet God. Tell me tonight, friend, how long is your journey going to be? You're going down the road of life with all of your self-made plans and with all of your assurances that everything's going to work out okay. You're just going for some more and better grass. You're going to try a little bit more. You're going to enjoy yourself. And all the time you're on a gradual drift down the broad road in tremendous danger of losing your soul. This sheep of Luke chapter 15 lost the protection of the shepherd. And this world, pictured in this little sheep, has lost the protection of the God that has made them. We're on our own tonight, exposed to the wrath of God. And yet there is one who has come to seek and to save that which is lost. But tonight, friend, you stand in tremendous danger of losing your soul. Not only, friend, is there death in the land, but we find there's an enemy that's moving. This little animal would have no understanding of the enemy without outside. He needs his shepherd to protect him. It's like you have no idea of the tremendous stealth and deception and power and sinister ambition of the enemy to lay claim to your soul. The Lord Jesus just put it so simply, the thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And the enemy of your soul, the enemy of God, the devil himself, is seeking to do whatever he can to lure you down the pathway of life, that he might lay claim to your soul and rob God of glory, and you'll be lost forever. But there's another picture that the Lord Jesus told in Luke chapter 15. It tells about a coin that belonged to an individual, but one day that coin was lost. Might have slipped off the dresser. Might have rolled under the night table. It doesn't tell us how it happened. But a day came when a coin slipped away from its owner and was lying there in its helplessness in the darkness. I would suggest that that coin is like anything like our coins, that that coin likely bore, it was Roman times, it would bear the image of the Caesar. That coin had value. That coin had a purpose. Just like our coins. And tonight, friend, that coin describes us. We bear. We have been made in the image of God. We have value to God. We have a purpose in view of eternity and in view of time. And yet tonight, you're in the darkness of your sins. You haven't brought glory to God. You've been living for self. And you're in the darkness. And your life is of no profit to God. I didn't say worthless, no. We mean everything to God. He has made us for Himself. All I'm saying is that you were made for more than a Saturday night fling. You were made for more than a bar stool. You were made for more than the empty bubbles of broken relationships. You were made more. There was more to life and to our purpose from God than just living for self and dying in our sins and landing in hell. Tonight that coin lies in the darkness, unable to do anything for itself. Help us. We were hearing on Friday night of that son who left that father's home. He too was lost. And tonight, there might be those who have left their father's home, maybe figuratively speaking, or maybe in reality. And you're not enjoying what you could enjoy. You're not enjoying what loved ones desire for you. You're in the far country. And you have lost participation in the family. For 22 years, I was on my own. I wanted no part of salvation. I thought it'd be a big bore. I thought it would ruin my life. For almost 28 years now, I have understood what it means to be in the family. For all those years, I was lost. Have you ever discovered, friend, that you're lost to God? Lost in your sins. Lost in the danger and in the darkness and in the depths of your own self-chosen course. Tonight I'm speaking to individuals, and if you're honest, you'll have to say, I'm the sheep that am lost tonight. But between those two phrases, as I indicated, there is a shepherd that's called. And tonight we want to tell you about that shepherd that makes all the difference. There was one who stepped into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. And tonight he's still carrying on that tremendous work. It's the greatest search and rescue mission that's ever been undertaken. Tonight, friend, that desire on the part of that shepherd is focused toward you. He has watched your course. He has followed your pathway. He has seen the hopelessness of your situation, and he has drawn near to us. But what did it involve for that loving shepherd to leave the splendors of heaven to come on that longing search? For him to come to be our shepherd, to be our savior, the Bible says he became poor. His was not a red carpeted pathway. His was not a course that was surrounded by the cheers and the acclamation of individuals. He wasn't treated as royalty. He was treated as an outcast, as a no-good. In fact, the Bible tells us in Psalm 88 that he was afflicted and ready to die from his youth up. He was a song of drunkards. I've never had a drunk man sing about me. But no doubt as he walked down the streets of Nazareth, he would hear them singing his name in mockery and scoffing. And the Son of God, the mighty Creator, the Shepherd of lost sinners, heard that and was touched. He never owned a home. In fact, there was a time when everybody was going to their homes, and the very one who had made this world Possibly he saw the birds and they were flying to their nests. Maybe there was a fox that ran across the field and he says, the birds of the air have their nests. The foxes have their holes. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Nowhere. Why did he enter into that? Why was he willing to come? Why was he willing to become poor? Why did he go with ceaseless activity through the land over and over until the Bible says he was weary with his journey? Everywhere he went, he brought blessing. Everywhere he went, he touched lives. He was seeking, and thank God he was saving that which is lost. But in order to save precious souls, he moved to Calvary. We were singing of those deep waters. And tonight, friend, there's not an individual in this audience that can describe what it meant for him to go to the cross, that he might save sinners. None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were those waters crossed, nor how dark the night when the Lord passed through, ere he found the sheep that was lost. He willingly came into the darkness, not just of a world, but of a place of crucifixion. He was willing to bear the wrath of God that should have been upon us, that he might seek and save. That was his loss. You know, there's a great difference between what he did and what is carried on today. I lived in Gander for, my family and I lived in Gander for 10 years. And the town of Gander is the Atlantic base for the search and rescue operation of the Coast Guard. And almost every single day that we lived in that town, those large yellow and red and black helicopters would lift off and would fly it over exercises or in training sessions. And you know, as those men, highly trained, strong men, they would fly it over the Atlantic Ocean. And sometimes in 80-foot waves, they would put a harness on. And they tell me that the cable is the size of about your baby finger. Not very much to hang on over 80-foot waves. But those men would be lowered down to where that individual is perhaps hovering in the water, desperate to be saved. And those strong rescuers would risk their lives to try and save that individual. When the Lord Jesus came, there was no cable. He didn't come to risk his life, he came to give it. Tonight, this good shepherd has given his life and has poured out his soul. And friend, what's more, he has shed his precious blood. He's done it all. That you might be rescued, that you might be saved, that you might be delivered, that you might be brought up out of a horrible pit and placed upon salvation's ground. He's drawn alongside tonight. He is willing and ready and able to save you from your lostness, from your sin, from your hopeless eternity. I wonder, friend, the big question is, what will you do with the shepherd tonight? What will you do with him? Still undecided? Is it possible that there's individuals here and you know that you're lost and you know that you're sinking? You know, if you die tonight, you'd be in hell. Oh, to think of the shepherd right alongside, still undecided, still holding back. The Lord Jesus could say in the words of a hymn, look at my hands and see, I bore the nails for thee. And tonight he desires that you would just simply bow to him and receive all that he has done, and allow the shepherd to find you and to save you. How do I know that? Because it says in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man, that's the good shepherd, is called. Seek and to save that which was lost.